Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. We're going to go right to the phone calls. First up is Greg, listening in Charleston, West Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I've listened to you for a long time, and it's such an honor to speak to you. If I may start just real quick, for years I listened and heard you say to pray for the ministry and donate financially. And a couple of years ago, became a monthly supporter, and it's so good to see how much good can come from donating, and truly thankful for your ministry, and it helps me grow in my spiritual life tremendously.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for that. Prologue to your question. It's heartening and very encouraging to all of us.
I have a question. I believe I have a pretty good understanding of tithing. My question, though, is in what is the Christian's responsibility to save for retirement, and specifically, like putting money in a 401k. I understand, and I've heard you say many times on the broadcast about basically holding out our hand and letting God put in and take out what He wishes. And just looking for wisdom on about saving for retirement.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly right. I think that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths. And one of the things that Proverbs makes clear is that when you give, it will be given unto you. Now, this is not a prescription for give to get, but it is a realization that you can't outgive the Lord, that He will provide for your every need. And so what we have to do is be faithful, meet the needs that God places before us, and then recognize that in doing that, God can multiply the resources that we have. You look at the Proverbs, and the Proverbs say this very thing: dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Well, what's that talking about? It's being honest, diligent, and faithful. And if you try to gain things through your own enterprise, then oftentimes that money is simply going to disappear as fast as it came. But if you're diligent with your time, your talent, and your treasure, God can multiply that diligence. So I don't think there's anything wrong with putting money away in a 401k. I think it may be very prudent to do that. But I don't think that what we want to do is presume on the future as much as trust the Lord in everything that we have and everything that we do.
Got it. May I ask you another quick question?
Sure, yeah.
I am in a ministry, and one of the things that they say, they have a prayer, and I've never been able to reason it out and not quite understand it, but I'm sure you'll know the answer. But I've heard, and also in hymnals, but it will refer to Christ as our brother. And I'm not sure where that comes from, and it feels funny to me even to say that.
Well, I mean, Christ is the only begotten of God, but we are children of God. So in that sense, though we are adopted in the family of God, we are heirs nonetheless, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, we can say that Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We can't say that he is our elder brother in the sense that Jesus Christ and human beings are the same in terms of their ontology. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We have been created in the image and the likeness of God. We haven't been created in the exact same nature as God or essence of God. Now, it is true that we have what are called the communicable attributes of God, and therefore there is a reflection of God in humanity that is distinct and powerful. We also can experience Christ within us, which is to say that for a believer, we have not just a changed life, but an exchanged life. So the engrafted life of Christ is within each one of us.
That clears it up. I just felt like it wasn't reverent enough.
Well, and I think in some cases, the distinction isn't made clear enough, as though we are precisely the same as Jesus Christ. For example, within a context of Mormonism, Jesus Christ is our elder brother in a different sense than what I just explained. If you look at what a Mormon says about Jesus Christ, they say that Father God and Mother God had spirit children. So Lucifer and Jesus Christ were spirit children of Father God and Mother God. But so then are we. God himself becomes a God because he's once a man. Jesus grew in stature, and we can do so as well, and in that sense, we can be gods of our own planet. That's a far different thing from what I'm saying. If you look at Hebrews, Hebrews makes it clear in chapter 2 that in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And then the writer of Hebrews says, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. We also have to understand in all of that that Jesus Christ is the God-man, assumes human nature, and in that sense, as well, we are brothers. Jesus speaks at times from the perspective of his humanity, at other times from the perspective of his divinity.
Thank you very much, Hank. May God bless you and your family and this ministry.
Hey, and thank you so much for your support, and particularly for being a monthly support team member. You got it. And when people are monthly support team members, you just can't imagine what that frees our ministry to be able to do. There are so many needs around the world, people that are desperate for the materials, the priceless resources that CRI has translated into their own language. And it just takes resources. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And people who give as a monthly regular habit, they make these things possible. Again, you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team online at equip.org, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Lenore. She's listening in North Dakota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lenore.
Hi. I had a question that came up when a pastor in our community who is a United Pentecostal pastor began talking to my husband and I about how we were not saved because we don't speak in tongues. And I would like some clarification on that as it's caused me some sleepless nights.
Yeah, well, this does put people into a psychological tailspin. You're telling people that in order to be saved, you have to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Typically, this is within the context of oneness Pentecostalism. And there's a legalistic prescription that goes along with speaking in tongues. So the idea is no tongues, no salvation. But there's ample evidence in Scripture that that is not the case. In fact, the very question that Paul asks is, do all speak in tongues? It is a rhetorical question asked in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the answer, of course, is no, not everyone speaks in tongues. There are various gifts that people have. Paul spoke many languages, and yet, rather than showing off speaking in various languages when his hearers would only speak one particular language, wasn't what Paul would do at all. Rather, what Paul would do is communicate in such a way that what he was saying equipped, encouraged, exhorted, strengthened the believers, and that's what we ought to do as well. I have an entry on oneness Pentecostalism in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, and point out that this is a predilection of oneness Pentecostals who hold to a litany of legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Be right back with answers to your questions.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important fact of Christianity. In fact, if Christ was not raised from the dead, nothing else matters. We are still in our sins and have no hope of heaven. Learn to defend the resurrection with Hank's book, The Third Day, our gift to you in appreciation for your ministry support today. Examine and explode the lies of resurrection deniers and strengthen your confidence in your own resurrection. To request your copy with your gift today, visit equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. From the Apostle Paul's day to ours, non-believers have claimed that Jesus never rose from the dead. In Hank's book, The Third Day, you'll learn the fanciful stories of resurrection deniers from the Jesus Seminar to Jehovah's Witnesses and the truths you need to stand against them. Let us send you The Third Day in appreciation for your ministry support gift today. You'll help create more truth-filled broadcasts like this, along with books, web articles, and other resources you can count on. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go back to the phone lines. Carlos, listening in Riverside, California. Hi.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I want to thank you for your program and for helping us out here that, you know, we need more of what needs to be read here in the Bible.
Thank you.
What we need to know. I want to thank you first for that. I have a question there on divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Can two Christians be divorced and remarried? And if that's so, where would that be in the Bible?
Yeah, I think that what we're told in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is that if two people are married and one leaves, the other is not bound in that circumstance. But if the other is willing to stay, you must not get a divorce. The one who leaves a marriage, the implication is that person is not abiding by the principles of the kingdom, and therefore likely is not a participant in the kingdom at all. And so you're not bound to that one. That person leaves, you are free. Now, the greatest of all principles or precepts is to work, as I just mentioned, towards reconciliation. So if reconciliation is possible, leave the door open for reconciliation, because one of the great metaphors in the whole of Scripture is Christ the bridegroom and his bride, the church. And so the marriage is a very powerful force, not only in society, a force for good, but it is also a metaphor of how we are yoked to Jesus Christ, and therefore we should not violate a marriage in a cavalier fashion.
Okay, now if that other person doesn't wait it, there's no wanting to go back by the other person, then he has the right to get married?
Well, if you are married and the person you're married to leaves and irrevocably closes the door to reconciliation, let's say they marry someone else, you are not bound in that circumstance. And that person who has left has demonstrated, as I just said, that they're really not a participant in the kingdom at all, and that's why you're not bound.
Okay. So that gives me the okay to get married.
Well, I'm not trying to give you the okay to get married. I think what I'm doing is giving you a principle from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're getting married, what I would do is make sure that you get effective counseling within a healthy, well-balanced church so that you're not relying on an electronic voice, but rather you're getting counsel from someone who understands all the details of the circumstance in which you're involved.
You know, it's not me. It's somebody from my church that they got divorced. They're both Christians, and they got divorced because one of them were unfaithful. And the person that was faithful, he still waited for that person for 5 years. But the other person that wasn't faithful, you know, that person wanted that other person back, even though that person is the one that got all this mess started.
Well, again, there are many things that rise to the level of adultery and willful desertion. So this is a complex and multifaceted issue, and you have to examine your own heart. Again, the idea is to work towards reconciliation. If that door is genuinely open, and I mean genuinely open, I mean, it's not like someone says, I want to come back now, and they continue on with an unchanged heart, but rather someone who literally falls on their knees like the publican and says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When there's genuine repentance and there's forgiveness from God, then we should be willing to extend that forgiveness as well. But again, since this is multifaceted, multi-layered, I think there are two things I would recommend a pastor in a healthy, well-balanced church, good biblical counseling, before you marry someone else in the circumstance that you just described. Secondly, there's an article that we did. It's titled Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. Ran in the Christian Research Journal. It's up on the web at equip.org.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to look into that. Thank you so much.
You got it, Carlos. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Holly. She's listening in New Jersey, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Holly.
Oh, hi, Hank. I'm a little bit unsure how to handle a situation if my husband feels that men are more important than women, and he's a Christian, and he's saved, but he has this idea that, like, he's the boss, and women are subservient, and if he says, don't speak, you should just not speak. And, you know, it's kind of very controlling, and I just don't know. I mean, I try to explain to him that, you know, that's not Christ-like, and, you know, I don't think Jesus would approve of, you know, him speaking to me like that. And I just don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing and, you know, have him, you know, get upset with me and say that I'm not being a good wife.
Well, I mean, I don't think that that actually develops much of a relationship when someone has the thumb on you such that you cannot even express yourself. You want to be able to express yourself. I have such a great comfort in knowing that I can come to the Lord every morning as I do and express myself to Him, express myself just as I am, and know that He loves me, He knows every hair on my head, and therefore I can be honest and forthright with Him, and certainly in relationships that are human, we want to have the same ability. What does the Bible say? I'm not the authority the Bible is. Well, look at Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the relationship of husbands and wives. The text tells us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And submit there means to yield one's rights. It does not denote obedience. The word obey doesn't even appear in the scripture with regard to wives, only with respect to children within the context of a family. So submit to one another. We're called to give up our rights for one another. And husbands are to love their wives and nurture and care for their wives. In other words, develop sensitivity in relationship, not say, shut up, I'm a man, you're a woman. That doesn't help the relationship a whole lot. And of course, Jesus' submission in the context of the scripture becomes the ultimate example for why we should submit to one another, as the biblical text says.
Yeah, that's perfect. Now, I will know how to explain that to him and to say it, you know, with loving kindness and not, you know, I don't want him to feel that I'm being, as he would say, I'm being disobedient or, you know, I'm not being a good wife because I'm not, you know, submitting to his will. I'm not doing exactly what he says. Or if he says, you know, it's time out, you know, as if I'm a child, you know, and I just don't think it's right. And I just wanted a spiritual opinion on it.
Yeah, and I just love what the scripture says. It can't be said any better. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. And then he says, now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And then Paul says to the husband, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does for the church. So as Christ cares for the church, your husband ought to care for you because, as Paul says, we are members of his body.
Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your blessing, for your word.
Well, and remember, when you have this discussion, do it with gentleness and with respect. Yeah, and ultimately, when you even point out this passage, it's not, well, here, let me do a gotcha, you know, but rather say, this is something that has impressed me so much, the love that Christ has for the church. It's a caring, it's a nurturing, the kind of love that causes the flower to bloom as opposed to causing the flower to wilt.
Exactly, and that's my whole thing. I feel like I'm just wilting because it's like, absolutely, I agree 100%. Thank you so much.
Ali, thank you so much for your call. Out of time, we'll be back here tomorrow with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.